Yeah. What's been happening the last month or two?
Well, all kinds of stuff.
Went traveling to mountain hiking.
Yeah, I went backpacking and had a great trip. It was my second trip. I got a third trip coming up this month in a couple of weeks. There's beautiful, beautiful waterfalls and forests and just magnificent rivers, and Oregon is just fantastic. It's got to be one of the best places in the world to go backpacking. And but I found out that I wasn't as good a shape as I'd like to be, because the guys I went with are pretty active backpackers and bicyclers and like that kind of stuff. And so I joined a 24-hour health workout club place. And then I've been doing that on my way home from work. I'll stop in there for a couple hours and swim and lift some weights and run on the machines and stuff like that and get myself up to speed. So that's good. And
what happened when you went out there out of shape?
Well, the first day I was hanging in there pretty good, because I had been doing a lot of walking as a form of exercise. But I'm carrying roughly 30 pounds on my back of equipment, and I'd start kind of pooping out on some of the air, and we were going downhill. I was ahead of them half of the time, but when we were going uphill, I just found I was working out muscles in my body that just weren't used to that kind of activity, and so I'd end up kind of falling behind, and they'd get maybe 10 minutes ahead of me on the trail and then kind of sit and wait for me. Not that bad. I mean, nobody complained about it, but I just realized that because I haven't really done any, like, vigorous exercising like that in awful years and years and years, actually. Matter of fact, I'm surprised I'm as good a shape as I am in, since I haven't really been athletic since, like, for 25 years. But I started Connie's program last week and got my first module, and I'm excited about that. And I'm also volunteering at the Red Cross one day a week in their IT department to get some broaden my experience a little bit of some of the stuff, computer stuff I've been learning. So.
Volunteer for their computer part.
Yeah, well, they have a guy there who services about 60 computers for the employees there at the Red Cross, and I come in once a week on Tuesdays for 6 hours and ask him if there's anything I can do to help. And then, you know, he usually has something for me to do. Sometimes it's not something that's all that. It's not really pushing my skill sets that much, but it's just some maintenance or stuff that needs to be done around there. But I'm not getting, where I work at Blackwell Book Services, I'm on a mainframe, and I'm not getting really any practical experience from all the stuff I've been studying and the tests I've been taking and all that kind of stuff. It's one thing to have theoretical knowledge or book learning, and it's another thing to actually, physically be in an environment and actually be dealing with the quote-unquote customer and handling, issues. So I figure it's over time it'll be good for me, because...
What was that last sentence?
Over time it'll be good for me because I'll develop more of a feeling of actually doing work that I could add to my resume, and it's good for him, hopefully, because I help him to lift some of the piddly shit he's got to do all day, so that he can take care of more important stuff.
Yeah, you were saying that this helps you interact with the clients. Did you say something about that?
Yeah, sure. It's one thing to be able to fix a machine. It's another thing to be able to negotiate with, you know, a client who's upset because his machine just went down. He's in the middle of something. He's got a meeting he's got to get to. He's got to get this thing done. And now you're, you know, handling.
You mean at the Red Cross is where this happens?
Yeah, at the Red Cross, yeah.
So that's hands-on stuff you don't get at your regular job.
Right, yeah. And
okay, so Carolyn's, I haven't read any of it, so the opening one is pretty good?
Yeah, it's good information. The opening one is about taking a look at modifying your diet so that it would be consistent with your ancestry. People get on different food fads, and for one reason or another, and they're not always appropriate. You know, it's not appropriate everybody should be a vegetarian, or it's not appropriate everybody should be having dairy. But some people should be having dairy, and some people can be vegetarians. But you got to take a look at your genealogy to see kind of what your line, you know. Because as she points out, you know, maybe you and your grandparents and even your great-grandparents may have moved around a little bit, but prior to that, everybody pretty much was in the same area all their lives for generations and generations and generations. That made that played a factor in the development of DNA and the type, according to the types of foods that those people were accustomed to eating. And if you try to stay closer to what your heritage is, you know, it might work out better for you.
Right.
And she had a couple other ideas in there too. So after I love her energy. Comes across. She writes well. She really imparts her and it's easy to read. And she's got a guy who's managing her website and the delivery of these modules who follows up. After you finish reading it, a week later you get a follow up that hits the bullet points and, you know, encourages you to get with the program and everything. It's very well done.
Oh, good. So, any movies or entertainment you've done?
Yeah, I haven't seen a movie since my last backpacking trip.
Nothing stands out that you recommend?
No, I haven't seen anything.
Any music?
Yeah, I've been really, my appreciation for Zappa has just been opening up. It's so fantastic. You know, when we went on that trip, when I met you in L.A., I really fleshed out my Zappa collection. If you remember, I bought about 20 CDs, and then...
That was a year ago. That was in May.
Yeah, and then when I got home, I started occasionally hitting the places around here that sell used CDs and continued adding to my collection. I ought to start stopping in there again, because I stopped, and every time I would go in there, I'd find some, you know, obscure album that somebody had turned in for, you know, I could get it for $6 or $8.
Right.
Bucks. And so I've just been rotating through my Zappa collection. Now, I do that mostly in the car, because I have a nice stereo system in the car, and I drive every day. I go to work or whatever. And I'm just increasingly blown away by his how he was taking a meta view of the whole music scene and doing it in a satirical way, and what a fucking genius he was musically. It's just, I'm loving it.
Yeah, he was a monster.
Yeah,
yeah, the creativity is pretty amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it took a long time to build up to the level of appreciation that I have today. Because at first he sounds funny to your ear. It's not like what you've been accustomed to.
Yeah, and I was just saying to Ben at one point in there that, you know, I always get a new album, parts of it I wouldn't like, it would be odd. Ben said it first.
Right.
You know, you wouldn't like parts of it, and then you get used to it, and the parts you didn't like at first you'd like later, and the parts you liked immediately, they'd be okay later, but you'd be surprised you'd get acclimated to the new stuff and the weird stuff. So the thing is that's why I only bought Zap albums, and therefore I worked on it for 40 years. You know what I mean?
They worked on developing the ear.
Yeah, listening, getting to know his work. And
yeah.
I did that by not listening to other stuff too much.
Right, yeah, I don't put any other music on. I was cleaning my room today, and I have a best of Bob Dylan. I always like him, so I was playing that because I could listen to it while I was doing other stuff. But
yeah.
Yeah, pretty much all I hear and all I listen to anymore is that. He's got a big enough repertoire that you can listen. You never get bored because you just put on the. I got like six. I don't know. I must have 50 of his albums. I mean, some of the albums were doubles and triple albums, but if you just take in terms of single CDs, I got to have 50 of them. You know, you just keep rotating through them.
You mean 50 albums or 50 CDs?
No, 50 CDs, some of which came as a double or a triple collection.
Well, that's really good. I mean, so other music is free. It's available. I'd hear it in different places over the last 40 years, but I wouldn't buy it, and you'd keep up with that. But the work part or the fun part, the only thing worth paying attention to, it seemed to me, was Zappa.
Yeah. Well, I never would have developed the appreciation for it had I not had you as a guide, you know, me into that arena. And there was a great this was several months ago that great Zappa
documentary,
when Gail was in there and what's her face who played the xylophones,
Ruth,
and various people were in there. Oh, that was terrific.
Yeah. And so Jerry Fialka, if you knew him in the 90s, he may not have emphasized Zappa enough, you mean?
Might not have?
Yeah, like you say you were.
I think Jerry, when I met Jerry, you know, he had all of Zappa's albums, and he'd been working for Zappa, but he never played Zappa for me. He never really talked about it much. But I knew that he met you through the Zappa connection.
Yeah.
But when Jerry and I were hanging, we were mostly kind of like talking about Bob and stuff. And then after he met Susie, all bets were off.
Yeah.
I think he even got rid of his Zappa collection.
Right. So the thing is, over the last couple of years, listening to it in the car is what's helped you.
Oh, yeah.
It's more recently.
Right.
Yeah. And Jerry's not been around for that. Okay, so I think it's been over 10 minutes, so let's call Bob.
Okay.
I'm gonna hang up, because I don't know, he's probably disconnected. I'm going to call you back and then do him.
All right.
Okay?
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.